Chapter 75. The next day was mostly very happy. Sirius was singing as he went around the house decorating for Christmas, which Harry found faintly unnatural, but also absolutely wonderful. Harry wore his new dressing gown around everywhere. It was a drafty old barn of a house. It was cold. And pointed out that he could only be accused of lacking house spirit if he wore green at Hogwarts. Mrs. Weasley supported this by pointing out that it matched his eyes. And that was the end of that. Except for Fred and George, who seemed intent on accidentally mistaking him for Professor Dumbledore every time he turned around. Hermione turning up was wonderful, and Harry repeated the experience of explaining the situation. She seemed very calm about it, and had actually reread every book in the library on occlumency and possession recently. I thought we might be able to use something about them in the DA. So she had some very intelligent questions to ask. Christmas Day dawned with Harry struggling to feel guilty about being happy about having everyone he cared for in one place under his roof. He tried to convince himself that it was not his fault Mr. Weasley had been attacked by a giant snake, but this was not very convincing. He felt like he had turned into a giant snake and attacked Mr. Weasley, to gather everyone at his house, and no amount of logic could convince him otherwise. The rest of Harry's Christmas present from Sirius was a pair of fluffy slippers that looked like they'd been skinned off some sort of great beast. Don't ask, Harry, but they'll be dreadfully warm. And a shared gift from him and Remus of books entitled Practical Defensive Magic and Its Use Against the Dark Arts. Harry stuck his odd, fanged wallet from Hagrid on a bookshelf and his weird painting from Dobby on the wall and felt like his room was really developing character. Visiting the hospital managed to quiet Harry's good spirits, especially meeting Neville's parents. Harry, Creature, and Sirius had some nasty arguments as the holidays wound down. Harry, who hated practicing occlumency all the time, was testy, and only the DA prevented him from wanting to drop Hogwarts altogether and work on destroying the locket with Sirius. Creature, meanwhile, was of the sneaking suspicion that they were not taking its destruction seriously and had some unkind and probably untrue things to say about Mundungus Fletcher, thieves, and the family silver. Sirius never quite came out and said he thought Harry dropping out of school to stay home with him was a brilliant plan, but he had dark moods that sent Harry off to his friends for some company that wasn't quite so damaged. Harry pushed open the kitchen door to find Sirius and Snape both seated at the long kitchen table, glaring in opposite directions. The silence between them was heavy with mutual dislike. A letter lay open on the table in front of Sirius. Said Harry, to announce his presence. Snape looked around at him, his face framed between curtains of greasy black hair. Sit down, Potter. You know, said Sirius loudly, leaning back on his rear chair legs and speaking to the ceiling. I think I'd prefer it if you didn't give orders here, Snape. It's my house, you see. An ugly flush suffused Snape's pallid face. Harry sat down in a chair beside Sirius, facing Snape across the table. I was supposed to see you alone, Potter, said Snape, the familiar sneer curling his mouth. But Black, I'm his godfather, said Sirius, louder than ever. I am here on Dumbledore's orders, said Snape, whose voice, by contrast, was becoming more quietly waspish. But by all means, stay, Black. I know you like to feel involved. What's that supposed to mean? Said Sirius, letting his chair fall back onto all four legs with a loud bang. Merely that I am sure you must feel, frustrated by the fact that you can do nothing useful. Snape laid a delicate stress on the word, for the order. It was Sirius's turn to flush. Snape's lip curled in triumph as he turned to Harry. "The headmaster has sent me to tell you, Potter, that it is his wish for you to study occlumency this term." "The headmaster has sent you to tell me that he wants me to study occlumency?" Harry repeated blankly. "Professor Dumbledore thinks you may have a mental connection to Lord Voldemort," Professor Snape said very neutrally. "He thinks I may have a mental connection to Lord Voldemort," Harry repeated. "He has his reasons to be suspicious." "His reasons to be suspicious? This is going to be difficult enough without you repeating everything I say," Professor Snape snapped. "I feel like someone could start a joke this way. Three people walk into my mind, someone gets hit in the head by a bar. Spare me your juvenile sense of humor, Potter." "I think you can spare Harry your idea of how it's appropriate to talk to kids, Snape," said Sirius. Harry jumped. He'd rather forgotten Sirius was in the room. "That is precisely none of your business. I am his teacher. Just because you teach at his school doesn't give you license to act like yourself all the time. I am his teacher. I will talk to him as I see fit, Black. Potter, your occlumency lessons will be Mondays at 6. If anyone asks, they are simply an extension of your potions." Professor Snape shot Sirius a poisonous look. "Apprenticeship." Sirius was standing up. "If you think my godson is going anywhere near being your apprentice, you sniveling sack of slime, you have another thing coming." "I accept," Harry said quietly. Both of them stared at him. "What?" asked Sirius. "I had Hermione look up how apprenticeship works a couple of months ago. I accept." Professor Snape blinked at him. Sirius sat back down heavily. "Harry," Sirius said slowly. "You can't know what you're saying. He's a Death Eater. Reformed or not, he's black as they come. And I have my questions about reformed." "Professor Snape," Harry said severely, "has saved my life tons of times. That's good enough for me. I think it should be good enough for you. I need a master if I want to get my own potions mastery. I've been wanting it to be him for years. So I think you should apologize for trying to murder him that one time, under the circumstances." Both Sirius and Professor Snape seemed to have forgotten how to move or breathe. Professor Snape recovered first. "Yes," he whispered malevolently. "Perhaps you should apologize for trying to murder me that one time. I would certainly appreciate it." Sirius gave him a look of intense dislike. "I wasn't trying to murder him," he said. "I was just trying to give him a lesson in being a nosy little snake. I knew he'd slither out of it somehow." Harry gave Sirius an incredibly unimpressed look and folded his arms. "Sorry," Sirius said, in as unconvincing a tone as Harry had ever heard. "Your apology is accepted in the spirit it was given," Snape said, with a bitter smile, eyes hooded. "Great," Harry said, standing up. "I feel like this calls for cake to celebrate my new apprenticeship. What flavor will everyone have?" "My errand is done, Potter," Snape said, standing as well. "I shall leave you to your family to celebrate." Snape swept from the room. Sirius watched him go and shook his head. "Chocolate raspberry cake will work for me, Harry." At which point the entire Weasley clan poured into the room, and Harry endured a lively discussion of whether this was a further sign of insanity. He made a chocolate raspberry cake and a carrot cake, and Fred and George magicked up a banner reading, "Congratulations on your apprenticeship with Evil Nose. Hope you don't die."